It's a brand new day, and we're putting the AM in American politics. We've seen the darkness of division and despair and are now jumping into the light of a bright path forward. Progress is here, and we're sharing its story with you, for you, all with the help of Signal Boost. Now, here are your hosts, Zerlina Maxwell and Jess McIntosh.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Signal Boost. I'm Zerlina Maxwell. Happy New Year, everybody. We are back.
It's Monday, 2022.
Are you feeling? How are you feeling about that fact? Yes. Good morning.
You know what? I'm trying to high presence and low expectations. That was my mantra in my yoga class yesterday, and I was like, "Ooh, that's a good one." Presence is high, expectations are low. 2022 is here. And we survived a year.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not, and right. That was. That makes for the kind of new year that you don't really want to have, the one where you're reflecting on how many people did not make it to this moment and the fact that you did. But we did survive a year, and I don't think we have anything more to do this year than we did last year. So
no, I did.
My resolution is to survive this year.
That's it. I went through my brainstorm like I do at the end of every year. And I was like, okay, let's see what I did. What am I going to try to do in the next year? And I came up with the goal of survive. That was it.
That's it.
That's the only one I got. Everything else sort of seems silly by comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. And you can't control the other things. Like, you can't even really control survival as much as you would like to. But this is not the time to, like, make the resolution that you're going to lose 20 pounds or you're going to learn how to make a perfect pie or you're gonna write a novel. Like, I mean, great if you do those things, but go into the year with a little bit of compassion for yourself. Like, give yourself a little bit of grace.
Oh yeah.
And if all you do is wake up this morning and then go to bed at night, you know, you're crushing it. Way to go.
For real. That's it though.
Yep.
I mean, I honestly think that, like, it was a strange sort of break, because at the end of every year I always do sort of like, what did I do this year? What did I want to do this year? Did I do it?
Yes.
What do I want to do next year? And it was literally like, oh, well, we survived it. Good for us. That's all we have to do next year too, because I really can't plan any further or bigger, because I can't control whether or not I can accomplish those things. And so there is no point in setting them down as a goal just to be disappointed by some unforeseen circumstance, putting a wrench in those plans. So, surviving.
Absolutely. Low expectations. We are going in with low expectations.
One
but the
and only.
That's it. The part about having, like, more presence, though, I feel like we need that in this moment too, because it is really hard to not live in the what if future, or to live in either the very recent traumatic past or the less recent, less traumatic past. It's tough to stay today, you know, to find joy in the things that are happening today, to appreciate the little things that are going around you, to even, you know, love and appreciate the things that, you know, your family members do that drive you absolutely up the wall because you're back in the house with them and you've canceled all of your plans for the next 4 to 6 weeks and you're losing your mind a little bit. And maybe your kid's daycare got canceled today, last night at 6:15 p.m. because that happened to thousands of parents across the whole country. And maybe you're home today doing remote work, trying to scramble childcare because you weren't expecting to watch your kids. Like, somehow finding the grace and the joy in those moments too. Like, those are the moments that we have. Like, we have those. We don't really know that we're going to have other than those. So figuring out how to have that, like, I am here and this is my life and I am going to enjoy the things that I can enjoy and I'm going to love the people that I love and I'm going to do my damn best. I think that's part of the energy this year too, is like, we're not waiting for life to start again. Like, this is like,
it's just weird now. I don't know if I said this at the beginning of the pandemic or if I just, this is a life lesson that I learned a little while ago that I I've sort of firmly stepped my feet into, especially now, which is that happiness is essentially a state of mind. It's not a state of being. It's a state of mind. So like, no matter what's happening in your circumstances, you can find happiness and joy, even if what's happening around you is a dumpster fire, which is what we're all living in. This is like the one time where that lesson can be universally applied in some form or fashion. And, you know, often, especially when I had no money, it is a lot harder when people are in your face telling you happiness is a state of mind. And you're like, I'm broke. That's the only thing I'm thinking about. And everything is terrible. And if that's you, I totally understand why this sounds a little bit like too optimistic. But even when I was frustratingly trying to hear that advice at the time, when I was broke and poor and didn't have any money and was like, I'm a failure in life, because that's what happens to you when you don't have any money.
I remember that. Yeah.
That it means that in you're capitalism. A bad person. Yep. Unfortunately, sort of getting that message at a time where the outward circumstances were not great and really trying to lean into the lesson so that when, you know, the external circumstances improved, it didn't make me like more or less happy. I already was happy. It just made me more comfortable. Yep. Right. It made me feel more secure. But that lesson, learning that lesson before this was really important. Like I said, I would not be able to survive this and be as sane had I not already gone through certain experiences, especially recently. So like my mom being in the ICU for an extended period of time, not being able to control any of that circumstance, not knowing how it was going to turn out, but being like, okay, this is what's happening. How am I going to like survive this and try to make not the best of that, but really just like stay sane throughout this. What are the things that are going to help me stay sane? Like whether it's having a sweet treat every day, working out, those therapy, those kinds of things, right? So I just like kicked all of those tools into high gear in the beginning of this because I was like, this doesn't seem like it's going to be great, but I'm going to try to make the best of it, even though it sucks, right? Nothing about this is like terrific. I mean,
no.
working at home certainly for me is more
not commuting is like the one unadulterated good of this for those of us who do get to work from home. That's it. That's the one good thing.
It's literally one of the best things that could have been put in my life that improved the quality, right? Because my commute was too long. It was really arduous. I would get where I'm going in a bad mood guaranteed because I'm a girl and I'm black. And so it was street harassment and microaggressions all the way for an hour.
And an hour and a half. It took an hour and a half to get to your house. So, you know, in Luxembourg, the government, not the government, you are paid for your commute. Like your commute is treated as part of the hours that you work.
Oh my God.
Which immediately in... Right. Okay. So it invests corporations in the ability for their employees to live close to the corporation. So you don't have that idea of like everybody living way out in bumfuck Queens and having to commute into Midtown Manhattan because that's bad for employers. Also, they're invested in like public transportation. And if the city bus breaks down, that's on them, not on you. You just sit there on the bus getting paid. Like waiting for it to start again. I mean, Luxembourg is tea.
There are policy
but
solutions.
There are better ways of doing this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't have to be like this.
No. But I think that even though it doesn't have to be like this, I think that lesson, like I'm taking that heavy into 2022, which is that my external circumstances, a lot of them you can't control. And so what I can control is how I feel in the moment during some of the bad stuff. And a lot of us...
Yeah, you notice the good stuff.
When I woke up this morning and I saw that Florida's case number has increased 950%. I mean, like, how is that even a number? How is that even... What was that even equate to? What does that look like on the graph? You know what I mean? Like,
Have we heard from Ron DeSantis? Is insane. He still MIA since December 17th?
Well, he was having a little fight with AOC. Supporters were having the little scuttlebutt. Is that the right word?
Scuttlebutt.
I'm trying to find the right. Scuttlebutt.
That's a real word that we say as adults. Scuttlebutt.
And you could
that's
tell
ridiculous
that, like, how frequently
how,
I say it.
How
I
can anybody take us seriously? Scuttlebutt.
Say that properly.
Actual English
or
word.
Seriously. But no, I haven't. I have not seen him since then. Can you? Someone tweet me a photo. So I mean, but it's not like if he came out, he would say anything good about COVID. The last times I saw him come out and say stuff about COVID, he was like, the kid can't breathe in the mask because they have too much CO2. And I was like, get off the stage, bro. You know what I mean? There was moments.
Yes, sir.
There are moments when Ron DeSantis speaks where I'm like, people elected this person.
Well, if he put that shit on Twitter, then maybe we could get his account suspended. That was like that was a good way to start the new year. Marjorie Taylor Greene permanently suspended from Twitter. There is a 5-strike violation. So, like, of course, I immediately go to be like, ooh, what did she tweet to get her suspended? Like, we don't know. It was the 5th strike. You get 5 times to basically just tweet out total misinformation.
Is that so is it all bad now that we actually know that you get 5 chances?
You get 5 tries. Look, if we thought that these people could, like, use that kind of discipline to their advantage, I think we'd be in a lot scarier of a place than we are even now. Like, I don't know that they can count to 5. I don't know that they can keep to 5. I don't know that they can keep track of that. But she's out now. That she's no longer on Twitter. And it's just because, you know, she was telling people that COVID isn't dangerous. She said that the vaccines were failing and that COVID wasn't dangerous for people unless they had comorbidities. She didn't use the word comorbidities, obviously. But That was that. Whatever it was that she said over the weekend was the last straw, and now we do not have Marjorie Taylor Greene on Twitter, which is very nice. I enjoyed that.
It would be better.
Sure, she'll go to Gab or Getter.
If we found a way, through voters or otherwise, to not have Marjorie Taylor Greene in Congress, I'm glad.
Yeah, I would prefer that to Twitter.
Twitter, but I mean, the main point here is that you have somebody who is deranged. I mean, I don't use that word lightly. Yes. Like, I've used that word to describe her before. But it feels right in this moment, and I feel strongly about it. She's deranged.
Yeah.
And she's in
Congress. This is a woman who yells at children who were victims of school shootings. Like,
right.
She harasses
right.
them on the street. Like, this is
she's on a different
person.
Level.
Right.
A different level than others. Even some of the other less than sane people in Congress, she is on the top of the list of those folks. And I think
she's an overachiever in that department.
She's dangerous. That's what's wrong with her. I don't care about like what her policy is on taxes. Like, she's actually a dangerous person with too big a microphone. And actually, you know, the really unfortunate part about it, I think, you know, especially as a Black woman, when I watch how crazy she is, I'm like, a Black woman could never, you know, like,
oh my God,
a woman
never.
Of color could never.
Never. Maxine Waters, like, says something perfectly reasonable and everybody's like, look,
and taken out of context.
Waters. And
yes,
like,
and
that's
they call her crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's right. She's always right. She's every time she talks, she's right. Like, just stop doing that with Maxine Waters.
She's been right, like, for decades. Before I was
she's
born,
always
Maxine
been right.
Waters was right. If you look at Maxine Waters, you put in any date, she was saying the right thing in front of a
You're
camera.
Gonna find her being right. Yeah. Yep. So we're done with Marjorie Taylor Greene on Twitter, but not in Congress. And that is a slight improvement. But other than that, we're not doing great with the COVID misinformation, which is a big part of what we're seeing today. We heard, like, you know, it's weird. It's weird. This wave, I feel like, is personally negligible and societally catastrophic. Like, I am fully boosted. I am able to manage my own risk. If I am to contract COVID, which I do not want, I will probably be fine, but I do not want that. But I can manage my own risk to avoid that. So that's how I am dealing with the Omicron wave. I'm frustrated. I'm kicking the can. I want to go to movies and I'm not going to movies.
Personally
negligible.
First of all, Jess, you of all people, I'm going to do a little rant here. Some pep talk.
Okay.
You of all people need to let it go. The movie thing, you got to let it go, because you're like one of the only people that I know who actually owns a projector and is partnered
with
somebody
true.
Who can set it up properly to make it look like a movie wherever you're at. So, you of all people, just make a movie night. with your projector screen.
I do have a cinephile partner who is able to make movies in just about any room of the house.
Just saying, you're gonna make the circumstance work for you and make the best of it by setting up that movie in your home. Like, for example, on the last day of the work year for me, I literally sat on like my last meeting in a Jungwoo t-shirt, and everybody was like, what is happening? And I'm like, listen, guys, I told you 3 weeks ago, because my dad informed me, that we were going to be headed into another surge. And so I know that during over this break, I'm not going to be able to do stuff, right? They're not going to be like hot, sexy activities happening over here. Like, I'm trying to protect myself and my family because I know there's going to be a surge. So what the thing that I have to look forward to, and this is, I mean, maybe it sounds crazy, but obviously if you actually saw the concert, I no longer feel too old to be a K-pop fan. If you saw the concert, you know what I mean?
I'm so glad for you.
But literally one of the things I look forward to over the break was like holding a stupid glow in the dark light stick and watching a concert live in Korea. And I did that and it was amazing. It was so fun. It was like I felt joy. And it was like, those are the kind, like, whether it's that specific thing, like a concert that you like, or if it's setting up the projector, you just got to make you're happy.
Yeah.
In this dystopia.
Yeah.
You just got to make it work. And 5 years from now, I'm going to look back and I'm going to be like, that was hilarious that you were like really committed to trying to make that a moment, but it worked. And that's what we're going to have to do in 2022.
Oh, you have to be committed to making things a moment. I really like that. I really like that as the energy to take into this. No, we stayed up until 3 a.m.
Don't miss the movie. Make the movie in your house. You have a projector. You actually can do that. It's not even like you'd be faking it with a 65-inch television. You have a real thing.
I really do. You're right. You're right. I can do that. I can do that for myself. Absolutely. But like, this is what I mean. Like, this is the biggest tragedy in my life right now is that I can't go see Spider-Man in the theaters. You know, like, it's personally negligible is what I'm saying. But societally catastrophic.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's what we're dealing with right now. It's like every time this happens, the stakes go down for me personally because I am ever more vaccinated. And the stakes go up for society as a whole, because if we have 10 to 20% of healthcare professionals who are treating COVID patients get sick, even if they personally don't get very sick, they still have to isolate. They still have to quarantine. That's going to collapse our healthcare system. Like, good luck if you tried to fly over the weekend, not the weekend, you know, the holiday, like thousands of planes canceled, you know, because of labor shortages, because people are sick. You can't have a wave of this magnitude where even people who are asymptomatic have to isolate without collapsing large sections of our infrastructure globally, which is what's happening. And I don't think we're talking about that piece of it enough. Like, stuff's not going to work when this many of us are sick. It's not possible.
And remember a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the coming supply chain crisis. How it was President Biden's fault, even though we were looking at like international headlines about supply chain issues and inflation. And so, you know, we joked about that being funny. But one of the things that you're saying that's really important is that the worker shortage is not just in the United States. The worker shortage is not just our supply chain. It's not just going to affect our supply chain. If workers are getting sick all over the world, that's the whole thing, the whole system. Again, we're in a global pandemic. Yes. So the idea that first of all, this week we probably should start the year saying, unless somebody steps forward and says they're going to vaccinate the world and they're not going to worry about profit and they're not going to worry about, you know, how much money they're going to make off a stupid antiviral drug, that that's not a consideration. They're just going to do it. And because it's the right thing to do for humanity, then we're not going to get out of this pandemic in a reasonable, much or less reasonable amount of time. That's the only way out. Mm-hmm. We know that's the way out. And if we don't go, it's like you have the fork in the road, right or left. You know which way is out.
Yep.
You go the other way. Like, we're going the other way. And we know we are.
Yep.
Because everybody knows the answer. It's not like the answer is hard. We knew it from the beginning. But we got to stop acting surprised every time there's a variant. There's going to be a new variant because we haven't vaccinated the world. That's the sentence, period, at the end of that.
Right. Right.
And so that's a fact.
And I think it feels like we're getting a little lucky with Omicron because it still appears to be less severe.
I hate this.
It's not less severe.
We got to stop saying that. Because, okay.
Rate of hospitalization and death is lower than Delta.
Understand.
That's real.
Understand. Less than Delta. Again.
Yeah, which was a huge killer.
We're comparing it to, like, the horrible, like, monster.
Delta is the worst.
But also, I feel really, really strongly that language, it's so counterproductive.
I didn't say mild. It is like mild.
Right. It's counterproductive. So less severe does not mean mild, and less severe does not mean you don't get long COVID. Less severe does not mean in 5 years they're going to find out there's some pre-existing condition and chronic illness you now have because you contracted COVID, and even though it was a mild case and you were fine and you had no symptoms, all of a sudden there's this new thing that's wrong with you that they figured it. Like, we don't want that. Viruses absolutely 100% do that. We know that based on other viruses. Like, you know, you don't know if this.
And this one is particularly finicky in that way.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The fact that there is long COVID that exists, that phenomenon. Like, my dad is like, that tells me that you don't want this virus in your body.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it is going to do over the long term. And obviously it's doing stuff over the long term, even in people who have mild cases and fully recover. And so I think, you know, the language around this, again, like, I have a couple of quibbles with the language we're using.
Mild bothers me a lot.
Breakthrough infection, terrible way to describe it. It didn't break through the vaccine. You have COVID. You have COVID just like anybody else's COVID, and you're not going to die from COVID because you got the vaccine or you got the booster shot. That's the right way to describe what is happening factually.
Right.
The disease did not break through the vaccine. That is not what happened. You got COVID. And so I don't like the breakthrough language, number one, because it's misleading, but number two, it makes it tell people the wrong thing, like it broke through somehow, and somehow your breakthrough.
Yeah, it makes it sound like the vaccine failed.
Yeah, like, and somehow your breakthrough COVID is not COVID. You have COVID. That's the you have COVID, period. That's the sentence, right? You have COVID. You're not going to die because you got vaccinated and boosted. That's the fact, right? Right. So, again, the goal is not catch COVID, and if you do, make sure that your body is prepared to deal with it. And so I have a lot of issues with some of the ways that we're describing these things. I've talked in depth. My dad is very frustrated with the way we're talking about this. The messaging is all jacked up. I don't like, you know, less severe, because I think it makes people think, oh, well, I'll be fine. It's like a cold. But like a cold doesn't, like, in 5 years mean that you still can't walk up the stairs properly, because you don't have enough lung capacity. That's not a cold, okay? And so we just have to be very clear about the goal still being the same, which is just not contracting COVID and making sure
avoid
that
COVID.
If you do, that you are fully vaccinated, which means boosted, which, again, threw people
we're
off because they were like,
fun.
I'm fully vaccinated. And you're like, did you get your third shot? And then Jess is like, I have one and a half.
Third shot? I have one and a half shots. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, so I know a lot of people who got sick over the last couple of weeks. I think a lot of people, especially basically everybody who worked in an office setting, who was in
COVID.
My friend group got sick. Like that was
everybody
what happened.
And everybody in my family had a party. Everybody who celebrated in some group setting got COVID or was exposed.
Yeah, it was the wave came on real fast. It came on real fast. It hit a lot of people who were doing things that had previously been okay to do. I mean, I threw out my cloth masks. I put them away. Yeah. I threw out one. I saved the other just in case we get to the place where I'm able to wear it.
That's also terrible messaging. That has not been clearly communicated.
I know.
People out here,
you need a KN95 now.
On with surgical masks on still, and I'm like,
like, guys, that doesn't do it.
We gotta
really
put out a directive. But it was hard enough to get people to wear the first kind of mask. Now we got to get them to wear the better mask. I mean, like, how?
And it's impossible to find tests. Like, it's hard to find KN95. It is impossible to find an at-home rapid test. And there are so many people relying on at-home rapid tests.
They weren't cheap, I ordered some.
Yeah. No, I ordered some online. Everything, like Walgreens, all the CVSs, everything is just like they've got the signs up in the front being like, there are no tests. Like we have so much work to do. And if this is life, if we're going to live with this, we have so much work to do to be able to live with it. We knew that
from the beginning. South Korea over there looking at us like, what are you doing? We're following your plan. But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I mean, I find it. So, okay, so because I consume so much content from Korea, I'm telling you guys, in other places, if you consume content from other places in the world, especially like real-time sort of like organic content where people, it's like, I watch like variety and reality shows. So it's like real-time content where people are like out and about, but it's obviously the pandemic. And the thing that I notice is that they're living their damn lives. They just have masks on when they do it. That's it. That's all. That's the only difference. And then they have contact tracing and testing, which was from our plan, from the CDC. It's called Crimson Contagion. They printed that shit out from the PDF and they followed it and they're living their lives. And we're over here like, what do we need to do? I'm like, actually mandate that people have to wear masks like they do in South Korea, where like you get the Amber Alert sound on your phone to put your mask on.
Yep. And then, well, so we're going to start seeing rapid tests be sent to everybody, which is very good and very overdue. We just need that to continue. Like, testing needs to be free, available to everybody in their homes as quickly as possible. So I know we're going to hear more from the administration on that in the coming months, but it does appear that they are at least aware that that is the thing that needs to happen. And I'm, again, grateful to be starting this year with Ron Klain in charge of that as opposed to Jared Kushner. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have a lot more headlines to go through. So stick around. More Signal Boost right after this.
We'll be back tomorrow with another Signal Boost podcast.
Thanks for listening.